A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when, for once, caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo Constable Peter Duffer praised the Socialist Party for its train killer war talk over evil China. I couldn't have, you know, like, said it better myself. And for once, we in turn would have to agree, because Minister for Being Offensive and train-killing Richard Mauls the bad guys, and Minister for Going Overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, Penny Left Wing, are saying exactly what he said, echoing the war is peace talk from our marionette master in Washington, whipped up even more by evil China laying claim to evil China. Practicing its perennial war is peace agenda, good Zion yet again launched a murderous attack on the Palestinian non-country non-people, which it said was reacting to terrorism, of which there can be no doubt, because our media described the non-country non-people of Gaza as terrorists. This time telling us, although the non-people had not fired anything in anger, Zion knew it was thinking of, would like to fire something in anger. Wicked terrorists. We have to stop them thinking. They are always thinking bad things about good liberty, freedom and democracy loving Zion. So we are always justified in slaughtering these non-people, non-country terrorists. But then good Zion announced it had not killed innocents, but the Gaza non-country, non-people terrorists had killed themselves. The biggest washing of the hands in that part of the world since Pontius Pilate. And then Zion moved on the non-country, non-people on the West Bank, destroying a few homes and killing a few more non-people who made the big mistake of being on the street going to work when the Zion train killers decided it was time to open fire on them because they were probably thinking bad thoughts about the Zion train killers, in fact. And in any way, as our media and Zion affirm, the mere fact that they are non-country, non-people means they are terrorists anyway and fair game. And there's nothing remotely terrorist about bombs and patrolling train killers controlling your lives, taking more of your land, checkpoints determining where you can and can't go, mostly can't go, bulldozing your home, stealing your water, destroying your crops. No, the bombed, the killed, the injured, the controlled, the homeless, the landless are definitely the terrorists. And even better news, our very own RMIT right here in Melbourne has signed up to research with Zion's biggest merchant of death, which produces all that war is peace merchandise which protects Zion from the non-country, non-people terrorists. Top marks to RMIT. On that, this inquiry into why our very own true blue Aussie train killers are killing themselves rather than, surprise, surprise, gullible young cannon fodder who just love the merchandise of death and its capacity to slaughter and destroy. Join up, head off to wherever the US of the UN of the US of the world orders us to head off to slaughter the local threats. Afghan terrorists intent on invading true blue Aussie. Iraqis brimming with weapons of mass destruction, intent on invading True Blue Aussie. Evil Vietnamese communists, intent on invading True Blue Aussie, etc., etc. And then find the corollary to the fun of killing. Kill and be killed. They forget the be killed bit of that, until it's not, you know, like fair, they're like, you know, firing back. Meanwhile, the new warm, cuddly Constable Duffer warned us the socialist changes to caring business class relations would make a bad situation worse. Like, you know, warned us the Socialist Accord Mark II summit will make a bad situation worse. Like, you know, a stunt. Warned us the socialist climate change, if there is such a thing, 43% policy would make a bad situation worse. Like, you know. Warned us the socialist proposal for an indigenous voice would make a bad situation worse. Like, you know. Which is in fact very encouraging, because given the parlous state of the caring business class party, every time Pete opens his mouth, he makes a bad situation worse. Keep the new warm, cuddly stuff going, Pete. Sadly, Pete's spot on. because it's obvious the evil unions are intent on making a bad situation worse. For instance, they want the sensible right of caring employers to axe agreements and slash wages and conditions during bargaining, an essential weapon caring employers would not need but for the insatiable greed of workers egged on by evil union bosses. Interesting that caring business class boss, good caring boss, union boss, always a pejorative, bad boss. Imagine the even greater difficulties good tugboat caring employer switcher to slave rates would be in if it couldn't axe and slash its ingrate workers' wages and conditions. God, it might be forced to bargain in good faith. And it's not like caring employers enjoy slashing workers' wages and conditions. Imagine the pain the switcher to slave rates board members in Copenhagen must be suffering at the ingratitude of workers on the other side of the globe for whom they are generous enough to provide work and declining wages and conditions. As that great defender of working class interests, true Lewazi Industry Profits Group Supremo Innes Will Costa Workers explained so sensibly, exceptional circumstances existed in every case where caring employers were forced to slash the wages and conditions of the workers they so care about. Exceptional, Innes. Absolutely. In every case, workers want things. To compound the threat, to highlight the danger, to show how the socialist government is no more than a captive of the evil unions, the caring business class relations minister, Tony Bark-Worsthan, said the government was concerned that caring employers could threaten workers' pay and conditions at a, wait for it, at a conference organised by Innes's True Blue Aussie Industry Profits Group. Talk about discourtesy. Talk about kicking your host in the teeth. And Innes also defended another important weapon the bloody evil unions want disarmed. You're not going to believe this, listener, but unions are demanding that Labour hire workers receive the same pay as full-time workers doing the same job. With poor Innes forced to point out yet again, direct quote, no embellishment, requiring Labour hire companies to provide the same rates and conditions to their employees as their clients provide to their own employees would create many major complications and potential adverse consequences for business. Sounds serious, Innes. Like what complications? What adverse consequences? Like I said before, workers want things. Our members may be forced to pay them. Let's hope Accord Mark II listens to Innes's wise words and ignores the economy-destroying demands of the untrue Lewazi evil unions. Sadly, the signs are not good. The most disturbing sign, a dire warning under a huge Lord Rupert of Wapping said headline, Unions back in charge. Unions are taking advantage of the Socialist Party's federal election win and will use the government's coming job summit to have their demands rubber stamped at the expense of employers. God, it's a worry, isn't it? As it turned out, although the headline was not in quotes, they were quoting no less an authority on these matters than the caring business class shadowy minister for caring business class relations, Michaela Costa-Workers. The story accompanied by a huge picture of evil CFMEU Secretary John Setka, which just happened to be there, no comment required, yet another example of Lord Rupert of Wapping's balance and objectivity. Poor distressed Michaela was supported by a feature article from Stephen Walters, real name, writing in the worker-friendly True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review, chief economist at the True Blue Aussie Business Profits Council, who said huge obscene profits being announced by caring employers should not be blamed for low wages. Something we know caring employers are so concerned about. He had a litany of reasons, but again, it came down to that perennial problem, productivity. Workers simply aren't working hard enough. It's their own fault. The naive like us, well, certainly me, I won't speak for you, listener, might ask, then, where are these huge obscene profits coming from? But that just shows my and possibly our ignorance. Unlike our assistant big economic guru, Andrew Liebert, two caring employers, who announced he wanted to work with caring business to develop a fairer tax system. That's like asking the fox to develop a security system for the henhouse. Anyway, given figures this week showed most of the filthy rich and mega corporations pay no tax whatever, we can be sure they'll tell him they can't think of a fairer system. Well, there's always scope for a bit more corporate welfare from the taxes they don't pay. For the not-so-filthy rich, crowdsourcing platform GoFundMe announced a 183% annual increase, real figure, in appeals for rent relief, rent relocation, food, medicine and other luxuries. But be prepared to shed a tear, listener. The latest figures show the average income in Toorak crashed by 8% to just under $200,000. While in lucky, lucky sunshine, the average income rose to a massive $48,000. Apart from the little 150 grand difference, we can take solace in that the sunshine figure would be less the tax they can't avoid, while the 200 grand would be plus the tax they do avoid. So that makes it a little better for the poor Toorakites doing it so hard. Following our item last week about financial behemoth KP on the Planet MG saying the planet can't afford not to extract and burn as much oil, coal and gas as possible, this week it showed symptoms of schizophrenia, saying Indigenous voices should be included in international standards for sustainability. That way we'll feel better about destroying their lands and history while respecting the sustainability of capital. And that true blue Aussie icon we all love, BHP, for bloody huge profits, bloody huge polluter, has sought approval for a new Queensland coal mine that would operate for 90 years. Even a mathematical idiot would work out that that's a little in excess of zero emissions by 2050 target, but of course bloody huge knows zero emissions does not mean zero emissions. Plant a few trees and the planet will be saved. Back on the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin, and we could easily have missed it, but Olivia Newton-John died this week, and nothing against her. But in a multi-page wraparound, the Wapping Sin had this giant headline, Devoted to Melbourne. Yeah, but she was born in Her Most Gracious Majesty's home country and died in her US of ranch where she had been living for years. But who are we to question the Wapping Sin? Finally, over in the US of, while we are critical of its gun mania, sometimes there's no other choice. Like 20-year-old Michael Morgan, who defended his dear old mum by shooting a 23-year-old McDonald's salt, sugar and fat worker in Brooklyn who served her what she claimed were cold fries. Cold fries, a capital offence. Yet the poor boy's been charged with attempted murder just for defending his dear old mum. Notice another salt, sugar and fat mobber advertising Friday night special while we watch the footy. Free delivery. Friday, fried night footy feast. What clever marketing with pickies of loads and loads of deep fried rubbish. And I reckon regular Friday night gourmets will miss the finals because they'll be in intensive care on life support in the cardiac ward. Good morning.